Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, October 24th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work, that tool's called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one, where people have been stepped through the worksheet process. And if you choose to listen to those, they can serve as a powerful tutorial for you and help you get maximum benefits from these tools in a minimum amount of time. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will give you access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It also contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process. And it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do all of that soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives when they use these tools. And it tends to promote comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. And if you have any of those for us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581 and or send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. You can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. That's jeannie@whyagain.org. And if we get comment or question or answer or testimonial from you, we'll address it during the internet show and then, as time allows, send you a message about what day and time that occurred, so you can go back in the archives and listen to the comments or questions or answers or testimonials. It's one of the main auxiliary tools in this work is the archives of these shows. There are archives of the last 11 and a half plus years, and you can access those through the whyagain.org website, whyagain.org, and when you go there, click on the picture of the microphone, and it will let you get access to almost every show from the last 11 and a half years. The first eight were 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, and the last three and a half have been 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So let us know how we can be of service to you. Let us know what your comments or questions are, either through email or calling at 563-999-3581. And assist us in being of service. Where we left off on Friday was we dipped our toe into Lesson 25, which is the first book of the Way of Knowing. And Lesson 25 is titled, You Remain as You Are Created to Be. And we made it through the most of the section titled The Final Surrender, There Is Only God. And in this work where we see the word God, we substitute all that is, or creator, or creation, or all of creation. And this book was, in this lesson, is talking about an awakened mind that abides in perfect knowing, no longer obstructs perception, feeling, the flow of thought, or the flow of experience. It just allows. It no longer looks to see how it can make things different than they are. It looks only and lives from what it most truly wants, which is simply to abide in its own nature, which is significant as the flow of life and the flow of creation into form, and to allow capital L life to flow from that nature, dancing in the myriad infinite displays of form. Text goes on and says, what then is required for true knowledge to exist? What is indeed required to abide in the way of knowing? That is to fully accept that not one trace of your seeking has ever brought you closer to reality or actuality, because they're using the capital R. The idea of perception as a distortion, as a process of mind that occurs that is between the flow of life and the person experiencing it. The text goes on and says, not one modality has ever held the power to bring you closer to connection with, experience of, and awareness of God, light, love, creation itself. No modality has ever held the power to bring you closer to the truth of what is. And that never could it have ever been possible for you to make progress toward the consciousness of all creation. For all the while, you have been the one you are seeking, and you have been pretending to be a seeker. It says, and for that reason, you have entertained the thought of separation. What reason would that be? The reason is this, simply to do it. For the mind of God, the mind of creation itself does not know and does not deny any possibility. For it sees nothing and can obstruct, it sees nothing that could obstruct the purity of its own nature. Forever, creation abides within herself, infinite, vast, radiant, and silent. The infinite field of pure knowledge, pure intelligence, out of which all things and all possibilities arise. That is why I once said to you, you have never looked upon another, for you see only your capital S self, your true self. And on Friday when I did this, I told the story that Guy Finley tells of the person who moved into the kingdom and everything seemed backwards and upside down. And after a couple weeks of very frustrating life, the minister came and said, what's the matter? And the person said, everything is backwards in this kingdom. And the minister said, well, how are you looking out your window? Remember what I told you, that in this kingdom, in order to see anything accurately, you must first see yourself in whatever you're looking at. So the wisdom that's in this book, page 297, The Way of Mastery, lesson 25, The Way of Knowing, is ancient wisdom. Guy Finley weaves it into his talks. Michael Rice talks about the very same thing when he says, it's all smoke and mirrors. You're only seeing pictures your mind is showing you, pictures your mind has created. You're not looking at the world outside of you. The Way of Mastery says, you have never looked upon another, for you see only yourself. The text goes on and says, you are free to judge yourself by judging your brother and thereby create a form of experience. But even that form of experience is only the perfect reality of all creation. And that is what you are. What then requires true knowledge? Creation itself does. From the very moment that you first had the thought, I want God, I want light, I want love, I want to know the truth of life, I want to know the truth of creation. Even that thought has appeared within the field of what you believe is your limited awareness as a limited body mind, racked by fear and doubt and guilt and all the rest. All of it is an illusion. The thought of wanting to be connected to all of creation, the moment in which your journey home began, that thought is the presence of creation awaking itself to that which has never been lost. Creation itself is what requires true knowledge. The thirst that you have felt for creation is creation's thirst for herself. You are literally the field of awareness of the Creator, in which the Creator has awareness of him, her, itself, because you are the power of life, of creation expressing in form. And only by that power have you ever been able to be aware of something, even those things that have appeared to be other than God, other than light, other than love, other than creation itself. For even the energy of fear is created from the energy of love, life, all of creation. Capital L, love. Even fear, contraction, and the dream of separation requires capital L, love. For love allows all things, trusts all things, embraces all things, and thereby transcends all things. Love allows all things. Love, capital L, love, trusts all things. Love embraces all things. And love, therefore, transcends all things. in what you might still wish to perceive to be your, quote, own experience, close quotes, as though it were separate and apart from your brothers and sisters, as though it were separate and apart from the twinkling of the stars and the dance of the sunlight upon the water and the thought and the brilliant mind of a scientist and the cry of a newborn child. Even if you wish yet to maintain that you have something called, quote, private experience, close quotes, that private experience has required the presence, the essence of life, love, the creative flow, the creative energy, the mind of the Creator. Every thought you have ever held has existed only because, capital L, love has allowed it. Now, this is a real meaty thing to put the intellect in charge of, to chew on, to sit with, to get spun out of control trying to wrap itself around. The intellect, which is full of the trivialities that it has been trained into, educated into, conditioned into, the intellect that has been formatted with a language of separation and division. The intellect which has been taught to perceive as though its perception is 100% accurate. The intellect which has been taught to think that the tiny little bits of information it gets, 1/10 of 1/10 of 1% of all that is, that's all it is. Michael Rice in 2014, he came to Crystal Lake. We had him out here for a visit. He had this, I don't know, he was here for a week, 10, 12 days, whatever it was. And in the middle of it, he had one of these kind of God moments. He had one of these full body insights, downloads, upgrades, whatever you want to call it. And he came into the church, the Unity, for one of the next talks. And he clearly was emotional about an insight that he'd gotten. And he was shown a picture of, like I forget how many, he used a big number, like 50 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle. And we are given, pick your own number, 5, 50, or 500 pieces as human beings in any given moment to look at. And we arrange them into something that makes sense to us, and we say we know what the 50 trillion piece picture is and what it looks like. And he, at another point in time, whether he said it or somebody else said it, and we're trying to put that those 50 or 500 pieces together without seeing the puzzle box cover. So we don't know what the final picture is supposed to look like. And we're given 500 pieces from a 50 trillion piece puzzle, and we arrange it so it makes some sense to us, and our intellect has been trained to believe that's the truth. But the fact of the matter is, you aren't separate from anything that's ever happened. And it's the energy of life and flow of creation that's given rise to you and everything you think and everything you see and everything you feel. And you don't have anything that could be truly called a private experience because you're part of the flow of life. You're part of what arises and falls in nature. The next segment is titled, "You have the power to awaken to your true nature now." And the text reads, Have you suffered because creation has chosen it? And the answer is not at all. For in truth, and then it asks us to please listen carefully, in truth, suffering does not exist. Only the reality of capital L love can exist. You are that one with the power to be awakened to your true nature right here and right now. Indeed, only when you have given up attachment to the modalities, the meditations, the prayers, the theologies, the textbooks, only when you have given up attachment to all form and merely make the decision to abide in the simple knowledge that you are that one, only then does knowledge permeate your awareness. So in this sense, what they mean by the word knowledge here is the truth of what is. The ability to experience something in its fullness, in its entirety, as its whole nature. And our perception does not give us that ability. Our perception pulls us out of that direct experience. In truth, and please listen carefully, suffering does not exist. Only the reality of capital L love can exist. Only the truth of the flow of life through creation can exist. And you are that one with the power to be awakened to your true nature in each new present moment. Indeed, only when you have given up attachment to the techniques, to the modalities, to the meditations, to the prayers, to the theologies, to the textbooks, only when you have chosen to give up attachment to all form and merely make the decision to abide in the simple knowledge that you are that one. You are the energy of creation expressing in form. Only then does knowledge permeate your awareness. The text goes on and says, if there was something you had to do to get to God, to get to light, to get to creation, then God, light, love, creation itself is apart from where you are. Yet it is the very love of pure consciousness that gives you the power to perceive that there is something you must do to get to creation. Therefore, creation is always present. If there was truly some form of meditation that could enlighten you, it would mean that you were truly apart from creation. But it is not possible for that one, the flow of life, the flow of all experience and creation, to be separate from itself. Allow then the mind to rest in the simplicity that what is true has been true always, and that where you abide, you are merely the manifestation of that one mind showing up, either as a man or a woman. In true knowledge, in genuine true knowledge, which exists here and now and cannot be gotten tomorrow, there is only the pure simplicity of the moment that is arising, looked upon with perfect innocence. In true knowledge, there is perfect peace. In true knowledge, one merely abides, awake, witnessing the play and display of phenomena, which is indeed arising only within that one mind that is the sonship. I have said to you often that you cannot truly make a wrong turn, and no one has ever made a wrong turn in his or her journey. How could this be possible in the field of pure love that is all of creation? Only that energy of creation, only love itself is real. You have allowed yourself as the creation, the flow of creation, to formulate shapes of experience merely to experience it. Every tear you've ever cried, every loss you've ever felt, is yet only creation choosing to have that experience. You have remained eternally free in each moment to choose again. And indeed, you will choose again without end. For there is not a time, in quotes, time, that creation will cease to be. For creation, if God, if light, if love could cease to be, then creation is not creation, and there would need to be a field of energy in which non-being could exist. The mind that is awakened serves only the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is merely right-mindedness. And what is right-mindedness if not true knowledge, this direct experience of what actually is? The way of knowing, then, is a way of unobstructed feeling, unobstructed allowance, not only of what is around you, but what is arising from within you. The work that I do communicating this lesson is not done because someone else is requiring me to do it. It arises within the field of the mind of creation that is the essence of all that I am as Christ. It arises, is witnessed, and allowed by me. And therefore, the work is done. This is no different than what you experience in your moment-to-moment experience. When you watch a raindrop fall and touch the window through which you look, you have utilized and you are the presence of the power of awareness that is no different than that which pervades me and through which this communication is manifested. All that is taking place in all attempts to awaken the sonship is that one is speaking to itself. It speaks of awakening because another aspect of itself, another wave from the ocean, is yet pretending that it has truly caused itself to lose awareness. Look around you, beloved friends. For once, I ask you to consider that you do not know what a single thing is or is for. I did this because you believed that you were a separate self and that your judgments and perceptions and definitions of things had a reality outside of your mind. Therefore, I ask of you, quote, look around in perfect humility, for you do not know what a single thing is or is for, close quotes. For if you look upon a brother or sister and see them as separate from yourself, someone from which something can be acquired for you to gain in your journey, you have truly not known what your brother or sister is for. This is the only thing that your brother or sister can be for, and that is to be that which creation looks upon and sees only itself. A brother or sister is in the field of awareness you have learned to call your own for one reason. They are there to be loved, to be celebrated, to be joined with, to create, and to extend the good, the holy and the beautiful. Does this mean that if you look upon another, that they ought to get it? Not at all. For that one that you are manifesting through them may very well choose in its infinite, perfect freedom to remain completely insane. And so what? This is calling us in the moment that we would jump to judgment. It's calling us to catch that judgment. Our brothers and sisters don't need to get that their true nature is love, that they are the expression of the extension of love in form. They have the perfect freedom to remain completely insane. They will always be either expressing the true awareness of their nature as love or expressing a cry for help and healing. And so what? Nothing can prevent you from looking with love and allowing the play and display of form to continue its dance of birth and death, joining and distancing, creating and dissolution. All things that can be experienced must finally be allowed to flow without obstruction within your mind. Birth gives rise to death, and death gives rise to birth in a ceaseless play, not of something struggling for life, but as life itself. The reality of all that you are remains utterly changeless and pure. You are as the sky through which all clouds dance and play. Your literal moment-to-moment experience, even in the moment when you think you are only a separate self that is going to go bankrupt tomorrow because of decisions made yesterday, even that can be allowed, can be trusted, can be appreciated, can be witnessed from the spaciousness of the sky that can embrace each cloud from a place of perfect knowing. There can be no greater joy than to arrive in each moment with nothing to be acquired, nothing to be accomplished, and nothing to be resisted. When resistance has been released through the simple choice to release it, you will discover and know that all along, in reality, there has only been the flow of life and creation. Now, again, the Western mind, as each of us listening to this has been conditioned to have, has been conditioned with thoughts of struggle and accomplishment and pain and suffering and delayed gratification or instant gratification and anger when there is no instant gratification. And that mind will be challenged by a message like this. No two ways about it. It has to be challenged by a message like this, because this message says, life is a flow and you are a part of that flow. You only create a dream of being separated from it. There is no benefit in that except to have the experience. It's perfectly okay for you to have whatever experience you want. The bliss state that some people refer to, that many people never get to, is only acquired when we release attachment and resistance and we move into the perfect allowing. And it says here, there can be no greater joy than to arrive in each moment with nothing to be acquired, nothing to be accomplished, and nothing to be resisted. When resistance has been released through the simple choice to release it, you will discover and know that all along, in reality, there has only been one flow of life and creation. The next segment is titled Living in Unobstructed Life. And the text reads, how then does one live as they abide in true knowledge? One could simply answer, one lives any way they want to. For in unobstructed life, that one, capital O-N-E, that one is allowed to inform your choices. The mind of creation, the Christ mind, the one mind, informs your choices. There is no longer anything you believe you need. There is no longer anything you believe will add something to you. For who, by taking thought, who, by taking action, who, by belief in theology, has ever added even one inch to their stature? For though the body arises and passes away as a brief cloud of illusion in the field of creation, you, your essence, your true nature, remains unobstructed and vast. How can eternity be added unto? You are pure awareness, and nothing you have ever done has increased you, just as nothing you have ever done has taken anything away from you. Each moment, then, is perfectly pristine and honest and innocent. Each moment is embraced and allowed without obstruction. It is the literal and present state of heaven. This is why I once said, quote, heaven is spread across the face of the earth, yet mankind sees it not, close quotes. Yet it requires heaven to choose to see something else. This is the slippery point upon which the way of knowing rests. It is slippery only because it requires no effort. You cannot help but be the one, showing up as the dance of a temporary play of energy that appears to be separate from all other plays of energy. And yet, the offspring of creation are one, whole, complete. Every tree, every drop of rain, every molecule, every thought, every non-thought, these things are creation expressing. Is it not time to awaken beyond a particular language that speaks only to humanity? Remember that your suffering has come only from the illusion that you are a separate body-mind, subject to the ravages of time, to the insecurities of the world, surely to become a victim of death. The whole time, in reality, you are the power, are the power by which you choose that belief. Does this mean that you can merely say, quote, I'm awake now and I don't need to feel that whatever it is that's coming up, close quotes? Not at all. For love does not resist anything. Again, it is stated, love embraces all things. Love desires all things. Love awakens to the truth that only creation is. And creation would embrace the totality of its creation through you, as you, in you, for you, and for itself. For there is no difference between creation and you. You are that one. How then does an awakened one live? I gave you that answer earlier. Quote, any way that the awakened one wants to. Close quotes. And here now, please understand, we come to the essence of what we will be doing in the lessons that follow. For no longer will we live in questions about what we ought to do. No longer will I ask you to live in questions of what went wrong, but rather in the purity of the power of the one question that creation dwells in constantly, and that is this, quote, what do I want to do? For here in perfect surrender, this is where the mind is returned to pure desire. Not the desire to gain something for a separate self, but that which expresses the totality of creation. Quote, what do I want? Close quotes. This is the question that creation asks itself, and asks itself as it expresses as you. Yes, it does mean that you're perfectly free to enjoy the field of desire. You are capable of knowing. I misread that. The question is, are you capable of knowing what you truly want? Absolutely, once you decide that you are not what you once believed you were. Once you realize you are part of the divine mind. This requires only the decision to recognize that nothing can exist except creation itself, and that therefore you are that one. You are whole and free now in every moment. I have often hinted to you that the totality of my life was my journey back to the source of creation. I chose it freely, not because I was separate from creation, but because I had already awakened to the truth that, quote, what could possibly exist except the love of creation, close quotes. I chose to look upon the body-mind and live in the question, what do I want? One thing I chose was to demonstrate the unreality of death. What will you choose to demonstrate? For see not in my demonstration something grand and beyond you, but rather see that everything you demonstrate is equal to that same power. For it flows from that power. It abides in that power. It manifests that power. It is the living breath and reality of creation itself. Therefore, as we continue through these lessons, we will begin to focus attention in the perfect freedom of exploring what is wanted. For the awakened mind sees that in truly living in divine selfishness, and Michael Rice here would say divine, what is his term for that? Self-wisdom, self-wise, not selfish. You cannot help but dance perfectly with your brother or sister, regardless of how they are choosing to respond to you. It is impossible to be separate one from another. It is impossible to cause another suffering. It is impossible not to be one with the one before you. There is only the dance and play of creation. There is only the celebration of the Creator's eternal reality. There is only the recognition that the creation itself is joy and not depression. All depression stems from resistance, the obstruction of the flow of awareness, the attempt to limit the unlimited. The mind that allows all things, trusts all things, embraces all things, is all things. Yet, though you will seem to live, yet you will not live. That one alone lives as you. You are free. You are vast. You are without birth and without death. You are as I am. You are the awakened one, the anointed, the Messiah. You are the gentle touch of love in a temporary illusion, attempting to be other than love. And why not? It's all a simple game, an innocent illusion. Therefore, we will end this lesson with one question that we ask you to live within. Quote, beloved friend, O Holy One, what do you want? Close quotes. And is that wanting generated by the freedom of love or by the ridiculous creation of a useless fear? Want only from freedom, and you will have your desire. And with that, beloved friends, peace be with you. We are most certainly going to enjoy being with you. Go then in peace. Amen. Quite a tall order for the Western mind, as we said, that has been conditioned, shoved full of trivialities and conditioned with a language of separation, been trained to believe that its perception is 100% accurate, even though it's only getting to perceive a tiny fraction of a tiny fraction of a tiny fraction of 1% of all that's going on. This lesson will shake the roots of any Western consciousness, any intellect, any sense of trying to figure it out. It said several times in the lesson, you do not know what anything is or is for. Like Dr. Michael Rice having the awareness of this 50 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle, and we are given 50 or 500 pieces to arrange. But we don't get to see the box top. We don't even get to see that what the picture is supposed to look like. But we think we know from our little 50 or 500 pieces what the 50 trillion piece puzzle is all about. This lesson wants you to wake up to the silliness of a belief like that. We cannot possibly know what anything is or is for with our intellectual mind, with our conscious logical mind, with our ego, with our sense of self. And that's okay. It's okay that we have a belief that we know. It's okay that we play and dance in the world of creation, in the flow of life and experience. It's okay. And yet, the only thing that's true and real about it is that we are here experiencing it. Our essence is all that's true. Our essence is the only thing that's going to last, lifetime to lifetime, moment to moment, unchanged. Our awareness changes constantly. Our beliefs about who we are and our value and our lack of value and our mistakes changes moment to moment. Our essence remains unchanged. So that's all we're going to read for today. Having finished lesson 25, we'll go back and review it at least once this week. We have time for a call, 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and we've got about 10 minutes to hear your comments, questions, answers, testimonials. How does it strike you? What part of your mind is getting resonated when it says, you are the Anointed One, you are the Messiah, you are part of the mind of Christ, of the one mind? How does that land in your sensibilities, whether you were raised in a religious tradition or a non-religious tradition? Let us know, 563-999-3581, and press 1. And I'll see the little icon of a hand go up by your phone number and announce you by your area code. My phone is vibrating, telling me we've got 10 minutes left. How can we support you today? I was enjoying some of the outdoors this weekend and listening to JM, the person who channeled this work, going back and doing some webinars about original work before the Way of Mastery, something that he titled, a book that he put out titled The Yeshua Letters. And it's hour after hour of being with other people and simply making your home in the breath, allowing yourself to experience the flow of your thoughts, but concentrating on this flow of life, this breath, this heart beating, this flood of sensations through the body, in complete allowance, in complete surrender. It's like Michael Rice says, the number one pseudo solution for the non-being mind is, I'm going to figure it out. What does this mean? What does that mean? And this work over and over again, from the beginning in the Yeshua letters, and then in the Way of the Servant, and the Way of the Heart, the Way of Transformation, and the Way of Knowing. At every level, this work understands we will never figure it out. Because the truth of our lives, the truth of our essence, goes way beyond anything that our intellectual mind can comprehend. It's like talking to a kindergarten class about a Titan rocket. And you can even show them a model of it, and you might even tell them something about the fuel and how it ignites. But their level of comprehension is nothing compared to what it would be if they get through a graduate level class in physics and hear the same talk. They simply don't have the experience that allows comprehension. That's what we're trying to be led to here. Because we have been trained to value our perception and to value our physical world above all else, it's like Ian Lunghold talked about in his lecture on the Mayan calendar. We live in a culture where the calendar, which is the exact dead center for every culture, is the calendar, and the calendar that we're trained to think about is not focused on any of these cosmic energies or spiritual energies or emotional energies. It's only focused on the movement of our physical planet around our physical sun. It is nothing but physical movement. And so we are only told to focus on the physical body and the vibrations that we hear through the physical senses that we call sound. And the images that our mind creates as it's stimulated by light waves bouncing off of other energy fields. Again, strictly physical. And we are trained to believe that whatever pictures our mind shows us based exclusively on those physical stimulations through our five senses, that's all there is. And those pictures that our mind shows us are accurate and true. And that's how we know we are right and someone else is wrong. And this book, at several different levels, and especially quite thoroughly in this last lesson, want to make us completely aware that we don't know what anything is or is for. We are quite literally trying to get an idea about a picture that has over 50 trillion pieces, and we've never seen the whole picture, and we can't know what it's supposed to be about, and we're supposed to we think we're supposed to understand it from the 50 pieces or the 500 pieces that we're given through our senses. And then we want to have an argument with somebody. We want to tell them that we know what's right and what's wrong and what life is really about and who and what God is, and from a 50-piece segment of a 50-trillion-piece jigsaw puzzle. Let alone the fact that your mind can't even comprehend the word, the number, trillion. That your mind has a very difficult time even contemplating a number like a billion, a million. So we cannot know what anything is or is for, and the joy, the truth, the existence without suffering that everybody talks about and that religions promise, et cetera, as an afterlife, et cetera, is only possible now in this moment when I move into complete allowance, surrender, when I move into the state of experience that is love itself, capital L, love itself. Love allows all things. Love trusts all things, surrenders to all things, and thereby transcends all things. This is the state of experience outside of perception, outside of judgment, outside of labeling. This is what happens in the mind, as Guy Finley says it, when you turn the corner in your car and see a brilliant sunset and the colors are breathtaking. What happens in your mind in that moment is that your mind goes quiet because it realizes it can't add anything to that moment. And it may only be for a split second before the machinations of the mind, the mechanical level of the mind, kicks in and starts to do an analysis. Oh, I wonder if this color is so red or so vibrant or has some orange tint in it because of smoke from the fires out west that I heard about. Or, oh, I wonder how this compares to the sunset that I saw 2 weeks ago. Oh, I remember this little poem, right? Red skies at night, sailor's delight, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. And the mind kicks in and starts to analyze, and it takes me out of that direct experience. Analysis, paralysis. Analysis, in analysis, I use perception to create an experience of separation where there is truly no separation, for there is only the flow of life and creation. So that's our show for today. We're down to about a minute, minute and a half. Thank you all for being here. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I appreciate you.
You're quite welcome and deserving. Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Monday, October the 24th, 2022. Call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael just a moment to get dialed in. And in the meantime, if you did not get our letter, we mailed out a newsletter Saturday night. It was about midnight. And hold on a second. Michael, here's your phone. I dialed it, but I haven't put in the host number. Excuse me. He was out of the room, and so I was trying to talk to you and dial in on his phone at the same time. and don't multitask very good sometimes. Anyway, we welcome you to the show. And like I was saying, we did mail out a newsletter. And so if you didn't get it, check your spam box. Make sure that it didn't fall over into there. And if all else fails, go to our website, whyagain.org, scroll all the way to the bottom, and add yourself to our mailing list. And anyway, so, excuse me. If you're not on our mailing list, you can go to the website, whyagain.org, scroll to the bottom and click on join the mailing list and give us your name and your email address, and that adds you to the list. And in the meantime, if you want to pick up newsletters that you haven't gotten or that you missed, if you go to the website and click on multimedia and then down to news, you'll see there is a link for newsletters. And if you click on that, it has every newsletter that we've done since we went doing it by e-newsletters. Used to, a long time ago, Michael and them used to mail out newsletters, but now they're electronic. We started doing this in 2016, and so all of those are out there on the website. You can click on the link, and it will take you straight to that newsletter. If you run into something that doesn't work, please let me know. Drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org. And I'll see if I can get the link fixed. So if you've got a question or a comment, please press 1. I know we did a couple of days of recordings last week because we were traveling, we were on the road. But we will be live this week. We may do some recordings again when we're en route back home, but that'll be next week. So please join us. We'd love to hear from you. And press 1 if you have a comment. Somebody, please drop me a line and let me know that I'm being heard, because on the switchboard, it looks like it's just me and one other person. And so surely we've got more people listening than that. So if you would text me and let me know that you can hear me, that would be awesome. So I know I'm not just talking to myself out here. Anyway. So. In the newsletter that we sent, I'm trying to click at the same time I'm talking. It's titled The Complete Joy Prescription, and it's actually a article that Michael started. I sent the first part out back in June or July and said the rest would be coming. So here is the rest of it, the entire article. So you can read that, and then he also integrated the sympathetic and parasympathetic dominance, and just a lot of information. It's he calls it actually that it's a course on healing, and it integrates the mind, the body, the spirit, emotions, everything, and the physical, the mental, and that you can't separate the two, that it's like a coin with a head and a tail, that they're both part of the same. So, we hope you enjoy that. Okay, Celinda wrote me and said she can hear me. So, good. I'm glad. I was beginning to think maybe something was going on with the switchboard. So, I'm glad you're with us. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. My apology for taking time to get caught up. We're still getting settled here in Kansas City. Lots going on with this new awesome baby girl, Kaylee Jo Luna Rice, and we've been getting lots of baby time in, which is pretty sweet, pretty amazing. She's just a really sweet prince, and once again verifies for us the definition of human life, this presence of love. And the newsletter, I've assembled it from several different places. It started out, as Jeannie said, as this article on the complete method of moving to the space of living as a human being, and then decided to expand it into a course on self-healing. And the thing I want to start out with today that I wanted to focus on, that in conversation with some people who had been giving me feedback on the letter and editing it as I was working on, Jeannie was working on it, is the a quote that I put in there from Bruce Lipton, cell biologist. You know, we've talked about him many times before. And one of the points that he makes and that fits in with this course that we're doing, he says, perception controls your biology. The moment you change your perception is the moment you rewrite the chemistry of your mind-body. And when you think of it in terms of the belief systems of the world, that's monumental. But when you think of it in terms of truth, when you think of it in terms of physics, it opens a whole new world of conversation. Albert Einstein makes a statement, you've heard me bring it forward before, where he says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. He's speaking of the connectedness of all. And yet, isn't it interesting? We've been so separated. I mean, you look at medicine, everybody's got their specialty. The knee doctor doesn't know anything about elbows, and the elbow doctor doesn't know anything about lungs, and the lung doctor doesn't know anything about brains. I'm not meaning that literally doesn't know anything, but no, this is my specialty. I've separated out, and I'm taking care of this part, and I know how to fix this part. Boy, this part is broken. I can put a drug in, and look at what happens. This part stops hurting, and it's so much better. But because they think, you know, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, you think you've given life in separation. And yet what the doctor used to fix the knee destroyed the lungs and the heart and the liver because they're separated, because they think something can be separated out from the whole. And so it is with this. And you'll note when you look at the newsletter that I've written a note to Bruce Lipton. And that is, Bruce, your perception is your biology, and your biology is your perception. So each is a perspective of a single event, but in no way separated. So we have a word for what we call perception, constructs of the mind, and we have a word for physiology or biology. And when we use those symbols as though they're true, we forget that we're talking about the same thing. Perception is biology. Biology is perception. Again, the example that Jeannie mentioned that we've used recently really deserves repeating. If I hand you a $100 gold coin, and on the head of it is George Washington, on the back of it is the Gaudin sculpture, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. We say, well, you know, there's the head of a person, and then there's this sculpture. There's the head of the tail, and there's or the head of the coin, and there's the tail of the coin. And we talk about the head and the tail of the coin as though they're separate things. They are different things, different perspectives, but they are in no way separate. When we talk about biology, it's exactly the same. When Bruce talks about change your perception, you change your biology. He's looking at the head and the tail of a singular event. In the way that the coin is a singular event, our existence is a singular event. And we each have been given a whole false view of the world.
Like, for instance, people think they can engage in, let's say, rage at someone and not experience the impact of rage in their physiology, because they think, oh, what I'm doing with my mind is separate from what's happening in my body, because I think they're separate. But they're no more separated than the head and the tail of the coin. Rage. I mean, just if you've ever done rage, take a moment at this point and just notice what you have to do with what you call your body. If you were to, let's say you were just to go into your biggest rage experience ever right now. Notice what happens to your body if you pay attention. So a mind engaging in rage is a body engaging in rage, a body experiencing all of that tension and moving into what we call sympathetic dominance, which is fear, fright, flight, freeze mode, cutting off higher mental faculties and shutting down blood flow to the autonomic nervous system. The part of the autonomic nervous system applies all of the organs that have to do with thriving and rebuilding and regenerating and healing and wholeness and health. We're shutting down aspects of that system physiologically. And it's kind of like, you know, to me it's the point of that old song. I can remember as a kid hearing this song. And of course, it was in regard to love and marriage. If you remember, love and marriage go together like horse and carriage. Dad was told by mother, you can't have one without the other. You can't have rage, the disease of rage in your mind, without having the disease of rage in your body. You can't pull one away from the other. You can't have grief, sadness, hatred, vengeance in your mind without having the chemistry, what we call chemistry, of grief, sadness, hate, and pain in your physiology, because they are different perspectives on the same singular event. And once you recognize that, you take another giant step towards being holy. And holy doesn't mean down on your knees with your hands folded. Holy has to do with experiencing yourself as the whole of what you are. And ultimately, to do that, you have to expand your awareness out to the aspect of you that is inseparable event from all of life. It's a big picture for the mind of man to be able to take in. And what we're in the process of doing at this stage of our development as human beings is we're bringing, especially the human realm, out of its belief in separation and different than into a comprehension of what this whole energy system looks like and what this whole energy system that we call a human body-mind unit capable of. So in essence, that's what we're working toward. That's what we're moving to do. And this whole body of work is about being restored to the truth of who we are as human beings. And the objective of forgiveness to remove the errant energetic patterns that have us believing that we're separate or separated from from anything or anyone else. Another thing Albert Einstein says is a human being is a part of the whole, called by us. Doing this from memory, I'm skipping on that word. Is the word he uses. I usually have that quote right on the top of my tip of my tongue. In any event, the point Einstein's making is we're part of a whole energetic system called life, and our senses have been trained in falsity, have been trained in separation, and cut us off from the comprehension of how extensive and how expansive the truth about each of us is. And by so doing, cutting us off from the true nature of who we are. And so the objective of the work that we're doing is to remove that experience that is given to us by perception, separateness, and to restore us to the truth of a human life, just to restore us to our true capacity as human beings. So one of the objectives of this course that we've sent out in the newsletter, and if you haven't gotten it and you'd like to get it, you can just send Jeannie a note. You can look on the website, as she said, or you can send Jeannie a note at Jeannie at whyagain.org. So Jeannie at whyagain.org. Send her a note saying you'd like a copy of the newsletter and to be put on our mailing list. And or you can, this will not get you the newsletter. You'd have to send Jeannie a note, but you can go to our website, and at the bottom of the page, there's a place where you can sign up for the newsletter so you get future newsletters. But literally, you know, someone was asking me, well, Michael, how long did it take you to write this? And they were aware of the letter that Jeannie had sent out, or the newsletter that Jeannie had sent out. I said, well, Michael's working on this article, and you can, we'll put it in a future newsletter. It took me a little longer than expected. That's sort of typical of projects that I do, especially when it comes to writing. I'm slow, but thorough. And it's turned into a whole perspective that covers all aspects of human life. That's what we are working toward presenting and making available, quite literally, to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's precisely what we're here to do. And so what I've done with the article is I've synthesized several disciplines. And those disciplines include, you know, the ancient Aramaic healing tools. We're looking at energy systems theory, quantum theory, naturopathic medical principles, drawing on the understanding of spiritual psychology, theology, how the autonomic nervous system works, and the latest in mind-brain-body research and non-invasive wellness technology. Like we're, you know, I'm looking to make this whole picture. So anyway, this person was saying, well, Michael, how long do you think you'd do this? And as I thought about it, it's, and I had mentioned this to Jeannie the other day, since it's taken me to write that article or that course about grade 10 in high school is when I started. When I started to build the brain cells for this picture of wholeness and healing that has come about as a result of decades of work. And, you know, there are times when I've done study, and then there are times when I've done work. My suggestion, my invitation to you is that, like you heard me say about, say, for instance, A Course in Miracles before, if you've ever been in a session where I presented something on the course, one of the first things I put on the board, you know, if I've got my standard 4A whiteboard, one of the first things I put on the board is, don't study A Course in Miracles. And I'm usually speaking to Course in Miracles students at that point. They're like, well, what do you mean don't study A Course in Miracles? And then once again, in, you know, tall, large letters on the board, I write the words, learn forgiveness. Don't study this course. Engage this course. Engage the tools of this course. It may take you a year to go through it. It may take you 5 years. Now, you could go through and read it in probably less than an hour. If you read it and then say, oh, I've done the course, then you will have had the course. If you get my drift. So it's not about a mental study. It's not about, oh, I'm going to go read all of that and learn those ideas. It's about, I'm going to use these ideas as a guideline to enter into a process of using the tools that we teach for the return to wholeness. Your head will never return you to wholeness. No machine will ever return you to wholeness. It is the internal work that you do that will return you to that state of wholeness. So the ultimate objective of this work is to provide a mechanism where we can draw on all of the wisdom teachings from all of existence. And what I've done with this course, to the best of my ability, is put together a synthesis of everything that I've worked with over the last 50 plus years and bring it forward so that every person who chooses to can put the tools to work and get back to an experience of who you are as a human being. That's the whole objective of doing this. You can find, the course has now been published on our the Forgiveness Doctor page on Facebook and on my Facebook page, JM_RYCE. JM as in Jeannie and Michael _RYCE on Facebook. And so the material's there, and we invite you to take it. You know, it's basically a reflection of everything we've been talking about for the last 11 years on this radio show. And I'm sure that there'll be edits and corrections and upgrades for that understanding as time unfolds. And each time I make a change, we'll make sure to go back and change the original links in the newsletter so that you can continuously update. The materials as they're added, a trimmed down version of how does this whole process work, who are we, and what's possible. And so that's the direction that this is all heading. And hopefully it's going to take the process to the next level for everyone. And if you're out there in listener land and it makes sense to you and that arouses some thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear your voice. Our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show directly. And then if you push 1, that raises hand in the control panel, you will know that you want to talk to us. So, Ms. Jean, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anything happening in the call line? Everything's quiet, she says. Your phone's on mute, which is good, but I could hear you, and I'll just repeat those thoughts. So if you're out there in listener land, let's have a conversation. What's on your mind? How can we support you? I'm complete with my monologue for today. The thoughts that I have prepared to put forward for today's show. And I would love to continue to have a dialogue. So if you're out there, what's your thought? How can we support you? What's on your mind? If you're in the chat room, oh, we've got a hand. Let's say hello.
Hello, Maloha. Hi. Can you hear me?
Maloha. I am rolling. I can hear you loud and clear. How do you be, young man? Haven't heard your voice in a while.
Well, I'm doing quite well today, although after the hurricane, I got, the water got a little polluted, and I've got a little, some issues going on, but they've pretty much cleared up. Thank you. And congratulations.
How close were you to the storm hitting? I hadn't really thought.
Well, I'm on the other coast.
I was thinking, right.
I'm on the other coast, but it came up behind, and it, for instance, in St. Augustine, it always floods downtown and the filth or whatever that's in the city washes out the inlet, and then the wind that's coming from the north blow it down here. So when I go out to ride waves, I'm in it. So, but that's passed, and in the meantime, it's all wonderful. And however, I have to say, it would talk about serendipitous sort of things. One room in this place flooded, and because of that, some boxes I had stored forever got soft. And when I drug them out, one of them fell open to some little treasures I had in there, including some books. I don't know if you ever read Hannah Day. Some amazing things on the pineal, and which is something that I strive to work with regularly. Anyways, I wanted to fast forward to that and say that I really enjoyed your comment about, don't study the Urantia book or et al., but engage. I thought that was wonderful. Yeah, that's beautiful, Michael. I think that is such a key. I mean, because you can sit there and meditate or think or study forever, but until one engages, you haven't got all parts of you that you can involved. And I loved it that you used that word.
Sweet. And Hammond Bay's teachings, there's actually a group, we've spoken there several times over the years. A dear friend from, we started working together probably on projects 35 or so years ago. It's called the Coptic Center.
Yes,
and
the Coptic,
he's in
right.
Lansing, Michigan. So John Davis from the Coptic Center is a dear friend from way back, and we've spoken at his conferences many times over the years. And, of course, he is always bringing Hammond Bay's material forward. So, and they're doing a lot of, if you're not aware of them or connected with them, they're doing a lot of online stuff. So you can get more of Hammond Bay's work through the Coptic Center in Lansing, Michigan.
Right. Well, thanks for that. At the other end of the techno spectrum, these books, there was about 30 of these little books, and they were clearly done on the old style, like mimeograph machine,
right.
Roller kind of thing. And, and it looks like it, but it adds a particular, just a nice feel and authenticity to it in a way,
Right. Antiquity.
And I have to say that I like what he says is just a wonderful merging of spirituality and yoga and kind of how things work a lot. And so in the meditations that I do, last few years included the pineal and my whole neurology thing, but it's Hamid Bey. I just, wouldn't you know, of all these boxes that got out of this wet room and everything, and the one that fell open and the one book that fell out right in front of me and opened up right to the page on pineal stuff. And
must be time to take another look, eh? Talk about the universe notifying you. That's awesome.
No kidding. I love that when that happens, especially because I have a guy here that came out for a period of time who's having cognitive issues. And I've edited down a long, involved meditation I do in the evenings. And it always includes the pineal, but when that book opened, fell open to that particular part and how amazingly important, according to Hamid Bey, it is and everything I've pretty much read. Yeah. And I've incorporated that for him, and it really helped put some oomph in and some engaging in it. And it helped my friend, too.
Right. Right. Sweet.
Yeah. And congratulations on the new grand baby all the way around.
We are just in delight and so blessed by getting to be here.
Yeah.
Engaging with her and with mom and dad, and we're getting to support them a little bit. They moved into a new house a couple of years ago, and the house needs a lot of work. And so, you know, as new parents, they're having challenges keeping up with it all. And so we're getting to help there, too. So all in all, it's
good.
Pretty sweet.
It's good to have Grandpappy in your corner, all right. Yeah, that's good stuff. And let me see. I see if I can remember. Kayla Jo Luna, is that it?
Kaylee Jo Luna, yes.
Yeah, well, that's close enough for government work there. Yes, nice. That's quite a moniker there. Yeah, and yep. I like it. And I just I heard what you said on that, and then but that engaging thing. I just want to, before I take off on this, I wanted to say, that engaging thing. Maybe if you have any more to say on engaging in the practices any more than that, I think that's something that most of us couldn't use too much hearing and have that one amplified, you know what I mean? Because it's too easy to get abstract on all this stuff. And like you said, just like speed read through a book and think you studied it, you know?
Right. Well, I go back to my earliest days, and, you know, I've shared with you, we have a common background in the world of electronics, and in that world, if you designed or built or repaired a piece of electronic equipment, it really didn't matter a darn what your philosophy was. When that thing got off the bench, it had to work on the other end. And so the thing that inspired me to move into the realm of healing was the fact that the night I was being born, they called my father to tell him that I wasn't going to make it through the night. So if he wanted to see me alive, he needed to get to the hospital. 4 or 5 times in that first year, I was almost dead. So my mother tells me, and you know, I can remember one particularly tearful exchange where she shared with me that she didn't know what was going on. She couldn't stop me from crying, and you know, just a few months of age, and her mother came to visit, and her mother said, "Your baby's dying," and off to the hospital they went. And so the thing that inspired me to move toward the healing world was that, you know, I grew up on an inhalator and pills, and my study of electronics and physics was in those early years. But then when I moved toward the healing realm, that, you know, it's got to work on the other end was sort of what inspired me to take each of the tools that I've developed. And, you know, whether it's the reality management worksheet or the codependence worksheet or the communication worksheet or, you know, whatever it is, it's like, here's how to engage it. And oftentimes people will look at it and go, oh, well, that looks interesting, and put it aside and not engage. Right. And the reason I think most people don't engage is because there are layers and levels of genetic and self-experienced terror and trauma that is just beyond what most people can fathom themselves being allowed to experience and survive. And so, you know, oftentimes, like, for instance, I'll do a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and let's say we've got 100 people, and I'll suggest to people that does this make sense? Everybody's like, yeah, man, boy, this is so right on. And I'll say, okay, so here's what I'm going to suggest you do. You know, we're going to be here at this center. This is back when we were traveling for another week. Every night we're going to do a workshop, and then Saturday we're going to do a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing session. So I'm going to invite you to do 5 worksheets a day while we're here and through the next 40 days. And, you know, everybody's rah, rah, yay, yes. By Wednesday night, I'll ask the group how many have done their 5 worksheets a day. If there were 100 people on the first session on Sunday, by Wednesday, we'll probably have 125 or 130. The audience would generally grow. And if 3 people put their hand up when I ask how many have done their how many have done their 3 worksheets a day for the days, you know, this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that we've been there, I'll be pleasantly surprised if 3 people out of 125 put their hand up.
Yes.
And
boy,
I'll be this is normal if when I'll count back. So I've done 4 a day, 3 a day, 2 a day. I'll be really happy with the result if 6 people have done 1 worksheet a day for the previous 3 days. And that's what engagement is. It's actually putting the tools to work. And when you put the tools to work, you start uncovering things that most people are so terrified of, have been so traumatized by genetically and otherwise. It's like they don't want to go there. And so
they don't want to go there is such a key, because I've got friends who are getting old, and I had a friend, and I would try to do everything I could. I'd give them the name of books to order, and I would offer to send them videos tailor-made for them and blah, blah, blah on certain kinds of pranayamas. And it's a little bit out of the comfort zone to start breathing if you're not used to breathing. And people just won't do it. And I had a good buddy, and I just love this guy. And I've known him since 69, and we've played music together through the years. And he's one of those. And it's in some cases, it's discomfort. And in other cases, it's just sort of kind of an ego thing where they already know, because they've got it abstractly in the brain, think they're engaged. But if you don't actually breathe, it doesn't do you any good to know about it. And what was interesting, in the final tally, hadn't been engaging in any way on the breath stuff. He had lost about half his range. And I mean, and this is not a rah-rah for me, except that I do it all the time. And my range and my singing voice, whatever, is at least double what it was instead of half. And
right. And
he acknowledges that that's what he ought to do, but won't do it.
Yep. Well, you've got to open. Yeah. You've got to open the system, and when you open the system, and I don't care. You know, people go, "Oh, I want wonderful, loving relationships," but if they start doing the work that takes them past their fear, their rage, their guilt, their pain, what they're going to have to look at, and what they're going to have to deal with to open to truly creating from within themselves wonderful relationships, it's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to look. I don't want to deal with that. And that's the toughest thing is to get people to hang around long enough to build a brain cells to go, oh, maybe I will actually put the pen to the paper. Maybe I will actually utilize that responsibility communication process. Maybe I will sit down with this codependence worksheet and do some work on it. And that's engagement.
Well, you and I both have, I was going to say, you and I both, you could say, have had the opportunity that we had to engage. And even me recently, about 15 years ago when I got crushed in this incident.
Right.
You either engage or you die. That's simple.
That's it.
You know, you either.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I'm motivated. I'm not done here on this planet, this round. And I don't think you are. And so, but you're motivated.
Well,
see? And so
yeah.
It helps.
To engage means that we face and process out, forgive, literally, everything that causes death. And if you think down through the ages, I mean, just think about ancestors, you know, in 30 generations in each of our bloodlines, there are 1.6 billion ancestors in just 30 generations. It goes up over a trillion in 40 generations. Now think about the 1.6 billion people in anyone's bloodline, yours, mine, or anybody else's, 1.6 billion deaths inputting information into this structure that we call genetics over time. What, you know, what terrors, what traumas, what horrors, what insanities have been engaged in, and that means that we're going to have to step in, face those things, and process through them. And it's those energetic patterns that are of a disintegrative nature that destroy our physiology, because those things are in our minds, and our minds are our physiology, as I started out with. So to open and engage is to literally remove every energetic pattern that never belonged from this in this system that could cause, literally cause death. Now you go back to that Aramaic idea where they said the wages of sin is death, and you realize the word sin is simply an archery term that means off the mark, and death simply means the result of holding an energy that disintegrates the energy system. You know, energy itself is eternal. You've got to put something in to cause it to dissolve or to disintegrate in order to kill it. And we're not made for death. That would be my take.
Uh-huh. And sometimes engaging along those lines for me just means, this would seem obvious, you would think, but it's not always obvious to even in the first person coming from my any place, but it's not a mental abstraction. It's just not a thought. It's for the emotions and the body and all the various, you just totally focus and charge something. You know what I mean? It's, you're engaged. Like the other day I was singing a song and with my friend, and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute. And I remembered all my Aikido stuff and all my breathing stuff all at the same time. And I was able to bring those into a focus and engage. Man, I just felt ecstatic for a while because I was, you know, I was blessed, fortunate enough just to feel that for a bit. And
I hear you.
And before we leave the pineal thing behind, and because I do need to shag out of here, and I wanted to say that I really appreciate the show and what you and Jeannie do all the way around, rest of the gang there.
Cool.
My understanding of the pineal is that there is, I haven't dissected anybody recently, so I couldn't tell you first person that there's a calcite crystal or something like that somewhere associated with the pineal that's piezoelectric. And I know you know what that means. And
light center and light activated. The piezoelectric expression, what we would think of as coming from pressure or what have you, is coming from light.
Right. And
it's all part of the energy system.
Know where I'm going with this is that on a crystal, like a quartz crystal or crystal radial, for instance, or any kind of that sort of thing, it transfers electricity to kinetic energy and kinetic back to electricity easy. So if you take your average little piece of crystal and you squeeze it, you've just generated a little bit of potential electricity. And if you run electricity through it, it'll vibrate a bit, which is how the frequencies were kept steady on the old crystal radios, transmitters and things. But it's almost magical in the sense that the way the kinetic to electrical it transfers back and forth. And when I meditate, I've been hearing I hear it now, I always do, since I was 8, a tone. The frequency changes, but I can make that tone in my falsetto voice, and I resonate that part in the back of my head, and I know that I'm making electrical currents in tune with that are going through my neurology to some degree, and which may sound a little esoteric. I don't mean to be too out there, but the piezoelectric thing. Yeah, and since you know about that, and I don't know that the people listening all know about the piezoelectric, but of course you do. One last thing that was very interesting, that you remember George Van Tassel, that renegade scientist that owned Giant Rock Report? Yeah. It was named Giant Rock because there's a giant piece of quartz about the size of an apartment out right there. And somebody had hollowed out an apartment inside it. And it's a giant piece of basically piezoelectric rock. And I spent a night in there once. And because of the coolness of the night and the contraction and the expansion in the day, there was like a light blue, kind of electrical blue glow at times I could see in there. It was very interesting that I'm fascinated by piezoelectricity, just can't tell.
Cool. Yes. Got it. It's interesting. There's a giant pyramid up in a small town. I'm not remembering the name of the town in Michigan. I actually used to present in this pyramid, which again, you're back to energies, accumulators and resonators and such. And they're still up in, forget the name of the small town, but that was an interesting place to go and spend some time in the King's Chamber. And also before you run, I went and got a hold of, I have a book in my hand that I just got from Amazon last week. It actually just came out. It's written by a friend of mine named, and you've heard me mention him on the show before, he's a chiropractor and functional neurologist named John Lawrence. And he wrote a book, and I'll send you, I have the chapter where my work is repeated, and interestingly enough, it's in the chapter on, guess what, the pineal. So I'm not sure I've got a version of that chapter with my materials in it that he had emailed me several months ago as we were working on it, and I was giving some input on it. And so I'm not sure whether it's word for word what is in the book now. The title of the book, for anybody who might want to pick it up, it's not a cheap book. It's about $30-some. It's called, the title of it is It's All in Your Head. Amazing benefits of endonasal cranial therapy. Basically what John does, one of the modalities that he uses is called endonasal cranial therapy. And basically what they do is they'll do a test and see where blocks are in the cranial structure. And the cranial structure is literally the antenna, the core of the antenna of the body. And of course, from your electronics days, you know that the shape of an antenna determines the frequencies it receives. Many people think the baby's soft spot when it hardens that the head is fixed, but in fact it is not. The head is in a state, along with all of the bones in the body, of a continuous state of motion. And with all the intricate fine bones in the skull especially, in one place, you know, there's extension and flexion, they call it, where, you know, where the whole system contracts. And it's one shape of an antenna, and then when it goes into flexion, it's another antenna. And my thesis is that that antenna is what brings the energy in that supplies every organ in the body. And if the antenna is physically or emotionally traumatized, then it doesn't go through its proper range of motion, and therefore certain organs are deprived of the energy that they need. And so I've developed... Yeah, in our intensives, I mean, for years, I've been developing this for the last 40 years, we do a process of training people in hands-on energy field work to open the antenna, the whole structure, right down to the feet, and so that the whole antenna is restored to its proper range of motion, therefore brings in a wider range of frequencies. And a significant part of that energy field work is focused around the skull. Well, what John does is this endonasal cranial work is they'll test where the pressure is needed, and they actually insert a balloon in the nose. In each nostril, there are three different positions the balloon can go. They'll test and find out which position is going to be most beneficial for the individual. And then the balloon is very quickly inflated inside the nose, and it just... cracks, pops, similar to a chiropractic adjustment, only from the inside, opening that antenna. So the energy field work that I've developed over the years opens the antenna from the outside. That's one of the things that got John and I together initially. And the endonasal cranial balloons open it from the inside and impact the pineal, impact everything within the structure. So I'll email you that chapter on the pineal where you'll see some of my work. And anybody who wants to pick his book up, you can go to Amazon. It's entitled It's All in Your Head, The Amazing Benefits of Endonasal Cranial Therapy. It's John Laurence, Laurance. He's also a naturopath and a chiropractor. So you'll find that chapter interesting.
I will look forward to that coming because I mean, I really study everything I can on that, and you can't learn too much, you know what I mean? So if you can apply
engage.
It. So
engage.
Engage. Yeah.
Engage
well,
instead
keep
of study.
Engaging, my friend, and I'm going to, I really
right.
need to go, but I,
cheers you.
I love you all,
all right, bless you.
And later.
I think it's really fun that you're bringing up the whole pineal thing, and then this book, John just published it last week, so we'll get it to you, and blessings. Bye-bye.
Okay, we don't have another hand up, but however, I got a text from someone that asked a question, and perhaps you can answer it. We've got 6 minutes. They had sent me a picture of a gallbladder stone that looks like it's about the size of a quarter, and they wanted to know if our gallbladder cleanse would soften that enough that would pass, be able to pass?
Well, you know, that would be, to answer that question directly, would be to be diagnosing someone's disease and offering a cure for that disease. That, yeah, I see the pictures, yeah. That's, Jean just showed me the picture that was sent to her by the person asking the question. The objective of the gallbladder cleanse is to, you know, they talk about gallstones. There's actually no such thing as a gallstone. They're actually liver stones. The stones are produced in the liver. They go down the bile duct and into the gallbladder, and they become stored there. And the gallbladder can become overwhelmed with these stones that are a combination of calcium, usually calcium and fats. You know, if you remember, the gallbladder is designed when you eat food to squirt out enzymes that will break down fats. And they'll tell you that the gallbladder is kind of a vestige organ. Well, it's not that big a deal to take it out. It's a big deal to take it out. I don't care how you cut it. But it can become, you know, infected, diseased, and need to do that. However, if you go to the website, there is a liver gallbladder cleanse that we offer people. And basically the objective of that is to, and people who've eaten the SAD diet, virtually everyone, if you're over 40 and you've eaten the SAD standard American diet all your life, then you probably have gallstones, what they call gallstones. And the probably to eradicate, to get your body to naturally move through that, you would do a gallbladder cleanse, at least a gentle one, maybe every month for 6 months to a year, and then a major cleanse once a year. And perhaps in a two-year period, you'd get your gallbladder really back in proper shape and take the load off of the liver. So there are several different, you can just, you know, Google. There is one that we found effective. Or we might actually have two different ones on our website. I'm not sure at this point.
And I've put a link on the notes for today.
Good. So there are a couple of different ones we found effective. And you could Google it, and you'll find others as well. But basically, it's a dietary regimen where you restrict your eating, and you take in different energetic substances, let's say. Some gallbladder flushes include things like grapefruit juice, lemon. You know, there are a number of different ways to approach it, but the idea is to soften, dissolve the deposits and allow them to be flushed out. So you can Google that and take a look at what it takes to clean up the gallbladder. We actually, Jeannie used to add back, oh, how many years ago is that? Probably 10 years ago. Jeannie's dad was told he had gallstones and they were going to go do surgery on him. And we said, well, Dad, here's a cleanse. Why don't you go ahead and do that? And he did a gallbladder cleanse, and all his gallbladder pain went away. And it was interesting. He captured, you know, you'll eliminate the stones, or what are called stones, through your bowel movements. He actually captured them, caught them, put them in a jar. They'll tend to melt, so we kept them in the freezer, and he took them to his doctor, and his doctor was, how did you do that? Like, I don't even have an idea what's going on there. But he took this jar of gallstones to his doctor. His doctor was just kind of, okay, you're fine. You know, they checked him out. His gallbladder was fine the week before. He was going to need surgery. One of the things that Dad loved to eat and ate by a package a day was Cheetos. Take a look at the oils in it, and you got a formula for liver and gallbladder congestion. Just, you know, and he didn't change that, but he did, you know, get through that threatened surgery. But then he was out of town. Actually, we were in Bristol, and he was out at the farm, and he had another gallbladder attack. This was, what, 4 years later, Jeannie? Probably 4 years later, and now 3 years ago. And at that point, he was rocking, he was rolling mentally, emotionally, physically. He was driving himself back and forth the farm. He was working on the farm. And we weren't there, and they got him into the hospital and yanked his gallbladder. And that was the beginning of his descent to where now he's in a nursing home. So I'll breathe on that one. Hold the space. And, you know, if we want to function wholly as we're designed to, have to take care of ourselves and stop eating all these garbage vegetable oils that the culture feeds us, and get on the track of eating actual food. In any event, appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. If you want to drop Jeannie a note, Jeannie at whyagain.org, if you'd like that chapter from the endonasocranial therapy book. It's all in your head. Of course, he's working with expanding the structure of that part of the antenna. I'll gladly email it to you so you can have a look at it. And or you can go to Amazon and buy John Lawrence's book, LIEURANCE. And in the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. You were made to give the gift. Blessings. Bye-bye.